And what time y'all have to go home? Okay, that's not it. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4. All right, Mark chapter 4. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's one of the things that you have to be watchful of when you come on Wednesday nights, Sundays, to hear the word. And not let the enemy come in and steal that God has sown in your hearts. Because if it comes forth, it's going to bring forth something. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time there, and afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, notice why it's coming. It's coming for the word. Immediately they're offended. So it tells me you can hear this word and get all excited about it, but it has no root yet. And it's all right to get excited about it, but you got to keep the word in your heart until it roots and not let the enemy come get it. So notice what he'll come with. Affliction. Affliction is hardness or difficult times, something went wrong, whatever have you, or some kind of persecution. And when the word's there, then all of a sudden people start talking about you and so forth like that. And you got to understand that that's happens when the word comes. All right? So you have to fight it with love. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown on among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, they choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, one of the things is this deceitfulness of riches. One of the aspects of riches deceiving is for the saints to think they have to earn it. See, oh yes, we do work, but that seed you're working for. You're working to bless other people. Are you following? You're working to manifest your giftings. See, work was designed to manifest the gift. In other words, God has giftings inside of you. And so work gives you situations, problems, whatever have you, that with that pressure, or when that opportunity comes and you need to draw on something from inside, then the gifting starts to manifest. Are you following what I'm saying? Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it with and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Let's go all the way down to 26, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So it tells me I don't need to have all the things figured out as to how this thing is going to happen. The thing I have to do is know that the seed is incorruptible. Say incorruptible. And that means there's nothing wrong with that seed. Wherever you plant that seed, it will grow. All right. And then it says here, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall you liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall you compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, as you know, is very, very small. So if I drop it on this carpet here, I got to really get down there and try to dig it out and try to find it. So the seed comes in that you can't even feel it. I mean, you just believe you received. You got what I'm saying? So, but it's working. You got to have faith that the seed is there, all right? And it says, which is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, verse 32, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater. All right? So, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. I want you to go over to another place with me, over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And look what it says here in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, why am I reading that? Because this seed sowing is a way that God wants us to operate in the kingdom of God that is different from the way we operated without the kingdom before we got born again. And I call it switching systems. Switching systems. The system of Babylon is a system, all right, but it has in it, it's run by inferior principles. And that system of Babylon is something that is unreliable. It's full of deception and so forth. But you can switch systems. Now, why don't you go one more place with me? Go over to Luke's Gospel and Luke chapter 6. Just stay here with me now. All right, so I'm going to get the word. But I got to make sure that the word is coming in my heart or inside of me and that it's going to root and grow up on the inside of me. In other words, I'm going to be converted. Inside of me is going to be different than it was before I got this word. You got it? Okay. So I'm getting converted. I'm getting the word now. I'm getting converted. It's a word of the kingdom. Look what it says here in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, let's just stop right there. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. So you don't have an opinion about it. Got it? Okay. Jesus is Lord. Okay. So that's the way it works. It works that he's the King of Kings. So he's all this is the word of the kingdom. He set this thing in motion, and when the king says something, that's it. All right? A lot of times we don't understand that coming from a democracy, but because we're voting all the time. But in this environment, you don't vote. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I'd like you to underline verse 47 when he says, heareth my sayings and doeth them. Heareth my sayings and doeth them. I don't think there's any problem in many churches, especially word churches, that people don't hear the word. I think the problem is the second part of that. Am I right about it? All right, verse 48, let me read it again. And he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream bit vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it. Don't say would not. It could not. So it tried to shake it, but it couldn't shake it. For it was founded upon a what? A rock. Now, what is that rock? It's the word, but it's not just the word that I just read. What is the word of? It's the word of the kingdom. It's when it went in here and grew up in here. So once it goes in there, see, I got to take time and get it down in there, because a lot of people just hear it and whoop and just so forth and so on. But they don't come and try to meditate the word, think about the word, ponder the word, read the word, so forth and so on. Pray, hallelujah, just praise God. Let this word sink deep and the roots come up and this thing anchor itself. Now, once it does that, you and the word just became one. Got it? All right. So, verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was what? Was great. All right, let's do a couple things here. When I get this word inside of me and it takes root, that's when I believe. That's when I believe. Now, it's an interesting thing about believe. Let's go to Matthew, please. Matthew over here, Matthew chapter 13. Y'all got time, right? Okay, I asked you what time you had to go home. That's just praise God. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew's chapter 8. All right, look what it says here. In verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, is grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man where? Under authority. I understand how the military works. The military has no voting. The military is just like the kingdom. Having soldiers under me, and he goeth, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Let's go in verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast what? Believed, so be it done unto you. So notice, this isn't done for you unless you believe. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, just because I jump up and shout because of some good things the pastor just said doesn't mean I believe it. Because you know yourself, we can teach things on marriage and you go right back home and do the same thing you've been doing. Don't make me read your mail here while I'm up here now. All right. So my point to you is that the peace that people are missing many times is they don't believe. Now, I think that same thing was brought out in Matthew chapter 10. Let's go over, Matthew chapter, hallelujah. Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. I got so much on my mind here. Mark chapter 10. I'm talking about the word of God now. I'm not talking about, okay, Mark chapter 10. Are you with Mark chapter 10? Have you got it? All right, look what it said in 17, verse 17. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running to him and kneeled him and asked him, good master, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said to him, "One thing you what? Lack. Go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, we found out over in Proverbs 19 and 17 that he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and what he has done and given to him, which he hath given, will he pay him again? The Lord's going to pay you back. But do you believe that? See, you can tell, because a lot of people say, "Give and it shall be given unto you," but they have a sad look on their face when they give. Now, why is that? See, because they don't believe what they just doing. It many times is done out of religious tradition, and there's not a believing inside, so there's no joy with it. And I'm telling you, when you really know what this word is going to do for you, and the master just asks you to do something, you know that God will never take anything from you that he'll not give you something back greater than what he took. Say amen to that. He took your sins and gave you his righteousness. Now tell me that ain't better than what he took. Say amen to that. I mean, you can go right down the line. But people are reading this now. I'm not done yet. Praise God. I'm going to take a little time on this. You mind if I do this? All right. Now, Abraham believed God. Glory to God. He believed God. Now, it says that over in several places. It was said in Romans, I think Romans chapter 4. He says, justified works for God. Verse 3, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Now, what did he do? God asked him to go up and offer up his son. His son was his precious what? Seed. So he told him to offer up his son. Now, when he went up there, sometimes the movies have him crying. Oh, Lord, God. That ain't the deal. If you go to Hebrews, you'll see that Abraham already saw Isaac raised up in a figure. So he saw his harvest coming back. And a lot of times people can't see anything, so that's why they're sad when they sow. Because it's grief. It's thinking, I'm going to lose something. I'm still preaching now. All right, not done with you yet. Now, just because you say hallelujah doesn't mean you believe. Okay. All right. All right. Now, let me give you another example. Turn to Hebrews, please, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, we're going to put this teaching on the tape as well as the teaching I do tonight. Okay. So I'm letting whoever is responsible for that know. Okay. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not what? Profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith, come on, in them that heard it. So look at verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Now here you got two people. You got the Joshua and Caleb over here, and they believed. You got 10 spies over here, and they didn't believe. Who entered in? Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they believed. So notice the promise is for everybody. But a lot of people are not entering in, as a matter of fact, in this case, most folk, because they still don't believe this. Church is still a kind of religious activity that they do. It is not a kingdom, glory to God, activity, a kingdom assignment. And so here in, let me give you something else. Satan's job is to bring to you doubt and unbelief. See, he comes to pluck that seed up, or he comes to contaminate the soil. He comes to do something so that you won't be converted. He comes to do something so that it won't, what you really believe in your heart is not matching the praise coming out of your mouth. Can I talk about this today? So here's the deal. Look at Mark chapter 6, please. I'm taking you to quite a few scriptures, but I'm under assignment. Mark chapter 6. All right, Mark chapter 6. And if you will, just look at verse. I won't start at the beginning of that. Let's just start at verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, because saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter's son? Didn't he fix our patio out there? No, I'm just telling you, this is what's happening now. The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. Notice that's one thing that comes. But Jesus said unto him, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no what? Mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk with minor ailments, some translation says, you know, headaches and so forth, and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. And he went about the villages doing what? Teaching. So when he saw this unbelief there had to be some teaching that went on, because these people were, the enemy prompted them to not believe that he was who he says he was, because they knew him when he was fixing toilets back there. He was putting up some patios and so forth. Now, the enemy, let's go to one more. Let's go to Mark 8, if you will. And Mark 8, chapter 23. You don't have nowhere to go, so just turn to it. Look at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And they looked up and said, and he looked up, pardon me, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. I'd like to call your attention to this particular verse, verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I remember when I was in Haiti, and after I finished preaching this years ago, God said, now go down and lay hands on the sick and get them healed. It just clears the bell. So I started down. He said, not that way. Go over there to the other side. So I did. Now, I got back in prayer and so forth, and that morning, I was in early prayer. I said, Lord, why did you have me change? He said, because there was too much unbelief over there. And the force of unbelief was going to try to hinder that miracle from happening. So he had to lead this man out of town. See? E.W. Kenyon said, in the last days, unbelief is going to saturate the atmosphere. And the enemy does that to hold down miracles. Say amen to this. Now, we know that we got a power here, because every time the enemy adds something, God adds something. And all you got to do is get in here and get the wisdom of God as to how to make this thing happen. Now, if you're talking about doubt, go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, I'm showing you all this because the word is the foundation. And the enemy is coming to try to keep that word from operating in your life. All right, look at chapter 3 of Genesis. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be what? Open, and you shall be as who? God's, knowing what? Good and evil. And when the woman saw, all right, I'll stop right there. Notice what he tried to do, or he did successfully. In tempting Eve, he got Eve to think that she was missing something. He got her to receive the doubt that God had done all for them and put in them what was in him, and they were the exact duplicate of Almighty God. But he got her to doubt that. Now, I want to show you something. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, here comes Adam. The Bible says he was with her. And he ate. Now, he didn't have any business eating. Am I right about it? Amen. Now, I want to show you this. Look at Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 51. And let me know when you get there. Isaiah 51. All right, I got to go. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock which you are hewed, and to the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your who? Father, and to Sarah who bare you, for I called him how? Alone, and did what to him? Bless him, and did what else? Increase him. How did he call it? Alone. Alone. What did Abraham try to do when God told him to come out of there? He took Lot with him. But did God tell him to take Lot? No. Now, what I'm saying is this, is that sometimes what pulls us either back or delays the action of God in our lives is sometimes we're busy trying to carry other folk with us. And really, it's nothing but a weight. And it's sometimes, I think, designed by the enemy to try to keep us from manifesting by faith what God has planned for our lives. And it is, I believe, a royal distraction. Because I want to make sure I got my notes on that here. When, glory to God, don't you start now, devil, in Jesus' name. I have felt in my life, I said, now, Lord, I can't go any further because they don't have this here and that there. But you know, some people have it. And what I have to do is I've got to understand that if I can use my faith right, oh, have mercy. I had to understand, Lord Jesus, I don't know how to even say this. I'm gonna have to speak this in tongue. I said, don't try to take unbelievers with you. Just know that he called you alone, and you're going to have to work out your own salvation. I mean, there are people at the house who don't want this yet. They don't want this. They are not interested in coming down here and hearing this word. The only thing they're waiting on is for you to start acting like you got some faith on a word on something and say something. And they're going to say, where you get that from? I mean, where is all? I'm saying, I went over to 2 Kings chapter 7. Put that up there, please. 2 Kings chapter 7. And over in 2 Kings chapter 7, you can't take everybody with you. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. That is what's going to happen by tomorrow. By tomorrow, your financial, economic situation is going to be totally different than it is today. Now, I want you to see something here. Then the Lord in whose hand the king leaned, in other words, there's a person who worked for the king, an advisor, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? In other words, there's no way this can happen. No way according to the intellectual academic status that you can achieve in this natural world. But there is a way with God. Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate and said one to another, why are we going to sit here till we die? Now, you know the rest of the story. They picked up, they said, well, if we go in there with Israel, they're in unbelief, they're going to die. If we sit here, we got leprosy, we're going to die. We may as well go into the enemy's camp. I'm not right about it. And notice, because they started to go, that the Lord made the enemy to hear noises of whom the enemy thought they were being attacked, and they left. But when they left, verse 7, and went, therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the tents, the horses, the asses, even the camp as it was for their life. And these lepers came to othermost parts of camp. And when they went into one of the tents, they ate and drank. They carried off silver and gold and raiment. These clothing now, these are nice clothes. And went and hid it, and then came again and got some pizza, pepperoni. My point to you is, then they said, why are we going to take all this ourselves? Let's go back and tell Israel. And they went back, and the first person heard it. The king said, no, it's a trick. They're hiding out. They're waiting for us to come out. And he said, no, he sent some runners out there. And the runners said, true, it's king. King, we've surveyed the place. They are gone. They've left everything. And the people rushed out. And this unbeliever got trampled to death. But my point to you is, it's a combination of five people, and their faith made every person in living word rich. That's my point. My point is everybody don't need to believe. If you're not there yet, there can be four lepers in the house. There can be a prophet that speak a word. And if you are in the house, you're gonna get blessed. How about Esther? How about Esther? One woman. Come on, let's go over there. Let's go over to Esther. Esther is just before the book of Psalms. Esther. All right. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I don't have time to go through all this because it's kind of spread out. You know, no, I ain't got time. I say I ain't got time. But okay, now. But what did Esther do? Mordecai said, Esther, girl, you got access to the king now. So you need to go in there and tell the king what's up with this. Try to get the king to back off. And what Esther say? I can't go in there, blah, 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 blah. He said, girl, wait a minute. Now you know that if you don't go, God will choose somebody else. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying if you don't want to use your faith, God will always find somebody else's faith. And what happened in that deal? Esther then fasted for 3 days, put on her royal apparel, so forth. And chapter 5, he talked about Esther went in there and the king pointed the scepter and said, Esther, what is it that you would like or request? And I will give it to you up to half of my entire kingdom. Am I right about it? I'm saying that one woman's faith saved the whole nation. I'm talking about God can use one person's faith and convert the city of Chicago. You got to hear what I'm saying, man. God can use one person's faith and turn Lawndale into the Garden of Eden. You got to hear what I'm saying, man. Where does it start? With the word of the kingdom. That's how powerful that word is. It can come in you and produce enough faith to make the whole congregation rich. That's how powerful it is. I mean, I'm just catching hold of this, see? Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Praise God. This is good stuff. And then I want to take it to Luke chapter 4 and then we're out. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look what it said in verse 2. No, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God what? Forbid. Let God be what?
True.
True. Keep going.
Every man be a liar.
Now, you can give beyond your ability. And that's what we did when we paid off the jet. I said, I don't want you to go into your savings. I want you to get it out of heaven. And what Jesus came to do is he came to teach them how to function in this economy according to heaven's economy. And that's what I am praying now for the revelation to come into your life. I told you I switched my prayer. I'm not praying anymore for you to be rich. I'm praying now for you to be rich in revelation. Because if you can get the revelation, there's nothing that can stop you. You can prosper anytime. Let's just look at one more place. Now look at this and see how the devil is trying to tempt Jesus to leave the faith or believing in God to supply and trying to be his supply. Look what it says in verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this what? Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. And the devil said to him, all this what? power. Do you have it? Power. Okay. Okay. Power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for they are delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will what? Worship me, all shall be thine. Look what Jesus told him. What? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Keep going. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I say, serve. And notice what the enemy is trying to do. He is trying to get Jesus to believe more in the government than he does in the Lord. He's trying to make him switch his allegiance, trying to make him switch from believing God to believing Washington, D.C. They're going to take care of me. See? And when you leave that, you leave faith. Because you can't have faith in that government and get the provisions of God. You got to have faith in God. And if God wants to direct some provisions through that government, he'll do anything he wants to do. But the idea about it is you got to have faith in God. He's trying to get Jesus to worship him. And let me tell you, worship God. Serve God. God is your source. In this mall right here, I'm telling you, God said, you just stand on that word. And I stood on that word. I said, well, the Lord's going to have to come through. And I stood on, I wasn't going nowhere. I went home. As a matter of fact, they were calling me, and I was at home in the bed with the covers over my head. Because I'm telling you, the lawyer was calling, Pastor, where is the money? I said, I believe you received. What is that? Well, he doesn't know anything about that. Say amen to that. But I read somewhere that God will not let me be ashamed. I read somewhere that he always causes me to triumph. You see, he'll do it for you and do it for you every time. So what am I doing? I'm just taking a little time to give this to you so that you can get this in your spirit. Amen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for revelation in your life. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray. If I can pray debt cancellation over your life while you believing for this and that, the only thing I'm telling you to do is keep your believing on the line. Amen. Don't just lean on my faith. Amen. But develop your own faith. Amen. So that you can give glory to God. Amen. From using your own faith. Give the Lord a praise. Woo-wee! Now, wait a minute. Let me say faith loose. We kind of started last time, and I just want to cover just a little bit more in this. Now, remember, faith is absolutely the best thing that you can develop in these last days. It really is, folks, because it'll do anything for you. It'll get your gas tank filled up. Say amen to that. It'll get your husband. I'm talking about you can order him like you want him. See, I ain't backing down. Okay, so you don't want one. All right, but my point to you is, oh yeah, faith, I'm telling you. So, all right. Now, by the way, the bookstore is for your edification. I mean, that bookstore is loaded. You ever had an Easter egg hunt? Y'all ever been on an Easter egg hunt when you were a kid or something like that on Easter, you know, they hide the egg. I hid some stuff in there. I did. It's some stuff hidden in there. And I didn't tell you about it. And I ain't tell you about it on purpose. Because I'm going to let you, the Bible says, it's life to those that find it. If you look at God, one of the characteristics of God is he plays hide and seek with you. That's the truth. God hides. You got to find him. Get in that word and see, isn't it hidden? And when you find, you, oh Lord, why didn't I see that all the time? Sure, that's one of the characteristics of God. So my point to you is there's a lot of stuff in there, and I ordered it and put it in there myself. And yes, about everything I've taught and so forth is right in that bookstore. But I hid it in there. I did it on purpose. So you need to go inquire. You need to go look for it and so forth and so on. Because it's designed to help you grow. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, let's just pray. We'll get started. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay that I may speak forth this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. We give you praise for it and call it done now in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, turning faith loose. Now, this particular teaching, again, is part of our faith. We talked about some time ago faith under trial and so forth like that. But when you have faith, you have to you have to turn it loose. You have to allow faith to work for you. You have to act on that faith. You have to do something with that faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what?
Word
of God. And then you gotta turn it loose. You gotta let faith go to work for you. Faith does things. Let's drop in this thing here and see what we got. Praise God. What is this? All right. My glasses is totally fogged up. Okay, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of how many nations? Many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which what? Be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the what of God, promise of God, through what? Unbelief. But was strong in what? Faith, giving what? Glory to God. All right, now I wrote some notes here. Just give me a moment because I got to go down through these things here. Let's hold that right there and let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. All right, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it what?
Faith.
The elders obtained a what kind of report? Good report. Through faith we understand that the what? Worlds were what? Framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So God made the earth, created the world. And he did it through the spoken word. And he created us in his same image, after his likeness, to function just like him. So now, this spoken word operation is also to take place with us. We are to speak God's word. His word is what created the world. It has the same creative power. God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. God blessed man and said unto him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. So he was not communicating. He was transferring the same power onto mankind that he has. This blessing is for man to continue creation. And again, not communicating. Now, God doesn't have to say anything to you to communicate with you. When God speaks to me, most times, I don't hear him like I'm hearing with the outer ears saying, William, would you please? No, I don't hear. I hear him somewhere down in here. Am I right about it? So it says in Genesis chapter 1, put it up, and verse 28, it says, and God blessed them and said unto them, understand that? He was not communicating. That is not what he's doing. He's passing on power. Got it? He didn't need, when I was just coming to Christ, I'd just gotten saved, and I'm telling you, I'm hungry for God, and I'm just eating anything, bottle caps, anything, just trying to eat the word of God, just trying to make it. And I got in this church, it was a Catholic church, and it was a church downtown in Chicago. And I used to go by it every morning going to work with IBM when I was working there. And every time I would stop by there and I'd pray, I didn't know really how to pray. I'm trying to learn all these things. And I'm crying and so forth. I'm on my knees because, you know, they have those things you pull out on my knees. And I'm trying to be all holy. That's just whatever I can do. And something said, don't worry, William, you'll be all right. Now, I had my eyes closed and I saw a marquee, just like you go to a movie theater. And the words, don't worry, William, just pass on the marquee just like that. And my eyes just, I said, man. And I looked to see if anybody else heard that, because I'd never experienced God talking to me. See? But he didn't need to come audibly. Everybody else was taking care of their own prayer or whatever they were planning to do. I remember I was in there praying. No, God told me don't tell that. But anyway, you just told me don't tell that. Okay, so, and I'm a man under authority. Now, what I'm saying is that this is the language of the Holy Ghost. And He shows you things as he tells you things. Well, I'm trying to explain some spiritual principle now. Now, so God created us like him. But in creating us like him, Adam then lost that through disobedience. He and Eve. But Jesus got it back. And then Jesus began to teach us how it works. He came as the sample son, showing us how Adam operated and how we're to operate. Now, the way God works is he spoke, let there be light. Before light was there, light was here. Y'all with me? Before he transferred light through words. His words transferred the substance of faith for that light into where it's supposed to be. So God took an image that was in him and spoke it out. Now, we are designed to work the same way. The enemy knows that, so his job is to try to get us to create for his kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. I just got a few more minutes. Matthew chapter 12. Y'all suffer, boy. Okay. Matthew chapter 12. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Now, verse 33. Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being what? Evil, keep going, speak good things. For out of the abundance, come on, of the heart, what happens? The mouth is going to speak. Watch this next verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, what does he do? Brings forth what? Good things. So the things in your life are brought forth out of your heart. And he is saying the way that they get there is the way of speaking them. That through speaking, stay with me, speaking here, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they're going to give account there in the day of judgment. Because for by thy what? Words. This is how powerful it is now. And see, this is what I'm talking about on Sundays. I'm saying, wait a minute. There is natural power. And you can go to the limit of it. I mean, atom bombs, I mean, hurricanes, natural power. But there's also spiritual power. And the spiritual power will subdue any natural power. And you and I were created to operate over here in spiritual power. See? And words are more powerful than hurricanes. Man, you got to see that. Are you with me here? Here is a storm coming up to sink the boat. And what did Jesus do to stop it? He spoke what? Words. But it just wasn't words. He said, where is your what? Faith. So it was words filled with faith. What faith? Where did the faith come from? Wait now. Where? I want you to analyze this. The image must be there. See, it's got to be there. You have got to see that I've got dominion over that. That it's got to be in there, see? And the way I get that is through the word. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. I've got to start saying that about myself. And the more I say it, the more the image is perfected. The more I say what the promise says, the more the image is put together. The more, and when it's fully put together, then it'll come out of my mouth. And when it does, it's full of faith, and faith will subdue anything in the world. Boy, y'all got to get that, man. Ooh, Lord. Now, when I'm first saying that promise and claiming that for myself, it's hard to believe it. But I got to say it. Because the more I say it, the more I believe it. Watch this. The more I believe it, the more I say it. Keep going. The more I say it, keep going. The more I believe it. And one day I'm going to become fully persuaded. Come on now. I said one day I'm going to become fully persuaded. Now that will happen with a storm, but it also will happen with a house. Because everything you need has already been paid for. And your faith is designed to bring it from heaven into earth. But it's got to come through your heart. Say amen to that. And there is nothing that can withstand faith. The power of faith will either dominate it or create it. Doesn't make any difference. Isn't this powerful stuff? So you got to walk like you are, what did I use? Invincible, praise God. Doesn't make any difference. But I got to form it in here, see. I can't play around with it, because what happened? He said, let us go to the other side. Well, what did the disciples do? They start rowing and everything. What happened to the word when the storm came? Here comes the disciples. This is what they said. Oh boy, we about to die. Now what happened to the word? It left them. He came to steal it. So it wouldn't develop in here, because they woke Jesus up, and he woke up and said, well, where's your faith? I didn't say let's go to the other side if the weather's good. I said let's go to the other side. And if you keep that image in here, when opposition arises, it'll come out of your mouth. Because if I, Lord have mercy. If this bottle is full of word, say amen to that. And the pressure comes on this bottle, what's going to happen to the word? It's going to come right out of the top, praise God. It's going, arobasata. It's arohung. In your house, the pressure comes on. Woo-hoo, here comes the word. In your pocketbook, the pressure comes on your mind. Woo, here comes the word. And the word will create. Now, I can spill this water because I'm the pastor up in here. That's a shower of blessing. Somebody just got it. Abraham called things that be not as though they were. You got what I'm saying? Now, what's the limit? There is no limit. Faith takes you into unlimited possibilities. Doesn't make any difference what the doctor's report is. Makes no difference. That's what they said to Jesus. They said, now wait a minute, he's been dead 4 days and his body's decomposing. Now I know you can do some stuff, but this is on another level. Jesus said, roll away the stone. Now what is he doing now? He's turning his faith loose. You don't need to agonize with another problem. Turn your faith loose. That's all we got, because we're out of time. Let's give the Lord a praise for it.